Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Tokers and tokens, non-toking lovers of liberty, it is Monday, August 8th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad you could join us here, and so sorry that I missed you all this last Friday. I didn't intend to be gone on Friday. I really did intend to do a show, but as we were closing in on the Indo Expo, there were all sorts of loose ends that I had to clean up, not the least of which was my laptop computer dying on me Thursday night. I was up all night fixing the laptop that desperately needs to be replaced, and I thought I had gotten a second laptop that would replace it, but the second laptop that I pulled out of storage isn't going to cut it. So that's where I'm at right now. The laptop's rebuilt. We seem to be okay, but we'll see. Anyway, also on Friday, I had to rent a car and get a PA system for our lounge because, as it turned out, Cannabis Radio had this huge 20-foot by 30-foot lounge area, but no PA for it. So I had to go track down my old PA from my music days, and we got that set up and had a really good show. We had a lot of visitors stopping by asking about Cannabis Radio, and also lots of great interviews that we're going to be bringing to you today and the rest of this week. All sorts of interesting products, new companies, and some interesting personalities that we spoke to at Portland's Indo Expo took place this weekend. So coming up on today's show, we'll give you the Cannabis Radio news to start things off. In the headlines today, some sad news from the state of Missouri. We've got a story on the campaign for legalization in California. We've got the weirdest job listing for a marijuana job ever in Columbus, Ohio. In San Francisco, we've got a case of gummy candy poisonings. And also in Mansfield, Ohio, a gummy candy incident to tell you about. Guess we shouldn't call them poisonings. They're not poison. They were sickened. That's what we'll say. And in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a decision on their medical marijuana system and how the delays are hurting patients there. So that's all coming up in the Cannabis Radio news right after this first break. And then we'll start getting into some of these interviews from the Indo Expo. First, we'll speak with Keegan. He's with a company called Work. That's WURK. And it's all about human resources in the cannabis industry. So if you're looking for work, or you are a dispensary looking to control or manage your human resources needs, this will be interesting for you. Then coming up in the cannabis community chat, after that, we'll speak with Sharon Vance. She's a comedian from Spokane, Washington, and she sat down at the desk. We had kind of a funny discussion that I hope you'll enjoy. Then at 5:30, we get our chance to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers in the cannabis Q&A segment. Dr. Earlywine will be coming to us live from his home in SUNY Albany, the State University of New York. And we got all sorts of great studies to bring to you today. A new poll on American marijuana use. We've got a study on sex versus alcohol when it comes alcohol versus marijuana when it comes to sex. There we go. Got that in the right order. We've also got some studies on young people and their perceptions of marijuana's harm. We're going to have an update on that story I brought to you last week on the new OSHA regulations and how they might affect drug testing, and why Americans are tuning in and turning on once again to psychedelic drugs. And then as we close out our first hour, we'll get to speak with Soham. He is a professional strain reviewer. I got to speak with him. He writes for Denver's The Cannabist. And then in hour two, more interviews. Drew from the Gary Johnson campaign stopped by, Jonah from MRX Labs, and David from Willamette Valley Aquaponics, all coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We'll be right back. Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lou Fredericks.
We're going to get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belleville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, August 8th, 2016. St. Louis, Missouri. The attempt by New Approach Missouri to place a medical marijuana initiative on the ballot looks to be about 2,000 signatures short. Spokesman Jack Cardetti said the campaign used open records requests to determine that the Secretary of State's office had invalidated over 10,000 signatures gathered in Jefferson, St. Charles, and St. Louis counties. Cardetti says the large number of invalidations suggest that overworked staff may have incorrectly discarded some valid signatures. New Approach Missouri plans to file a lawsuit within the next 10 days, confident that the courts will restore enough signatures for Missouri to join neighboring Arkansas, as well as Florida and Montana, with medical marijuana measures on the ballot in November. San Francisco, California. Supporters of California's Proposition 64 to legalize recreational marijuana filed a lawsuit Thursday accusing opponents of including false and misleading language in official ballot materials. The Yes on Proposition 64 committee sued in Sacramento County Superior Court, asking a judge to change or delete several arguments that opponents make against the measure on the November ballot. The lawsuit objects to opponents' claims about television advertising and arguments that the measure would undo consumer protections that Governor Jerry Brown recently signed into law. In particular, the lawsuit says it's not true that the initiative, quote, rolls back the total prohibition on smoking ads on TV, end quote, and that children, quote, will be exposed to ads promoting marijuana gummy candy and brownies, end quote. Federal law bans marijuana advertising, and the measure won't change the federal prohibition of televised smoking ads, Proposition supporter spokesman Jason Kinney said. Columbus, Ohio. Ohio is looking for an expert in growing marijuana who must adhere to its drug-free workplace policy as the state implements a new medical marijuana law. Cleveland.com reports the new hire by the Ohio Department of Commerce would help write rules for medical marijuana cultivators. The chosen contractor would be held to Ohio's drug-free workplace policy, which currently doesn't allow for medical marijuana use. A Commerce Department spokesperson couldn't say Friday whether the contractor's employees would have to clear a pre-employment drug test. San Francisco, California. San Francisco health officials suspect the gummy candies that sickened 19 people, including a six-year-old, at a birthday party contained edible marijuana. Final lab results weren't available Monday, but officials say some of the hospitalized patients tested positive for THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. 13 of the patients were 18 or younger. The youngest was 6. They were hospitalized Saturday and all had been discharged by Monday morning. The patient's symptoms were consistent with the effects of edible cannabis, including rapid heart rate, high blood pressure, dilated pupils, dizziness, lightheadedness, nausea, and confusion. Mansfield, Ohio. A Michigan man has been charged with felony drug trafficking after 24 people were sickened at an Ohio rap music festival when they ate candy laced with the marijuana ingredient THC. A Mansfield municipal court judge set a $50,000 cash bond Monday for 28-year-old Matthew Gross of Ypsilanti. He is jailed and no attorney information is available for him. Emergency crews were called to EST 2016 outside Mansfield on Saturday after people reported feeling ill. THC is the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. Authorities say all those sickened are expected to recover. The festival was headlined by Cleveland rapper Machine Gun Kelly. The charge is expected to be transferred to a Richland County Common Pleas Court, where prosecutors will decide whether to present the case to a grand jury. Santa Fe, New Mexico. The Department of Health has such a large backlog of applications for New Mexico medical marijuana identification cards, the state auditor has called it a public health emergency. The average time for processing a medical marijuana ID card is now 43 days, which is down from the 60-day average in June, but still exceeds the 30-day limit set by state law, the Albuquerque Journal reported. The department is working to process applications for both new patients and those seeking renewals, agency spokesman David Morgan said. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, August 8th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here, live at the Indo Expo in Portland, Oregon. And joining me here at the desk, we have Keegan from Work. How you doing, Keegan?
Good, man. Thank you.
And not just generic work like you have a job to do, but W-U-R-K. And so what's up with Work? What is Work?
Work is an HR payroll platform built specifically for the cannabis business owner.
Okay.
So we're helping business owners pay their employees, pay their taxes, track labor down to the 280E level so that they can take advantage of 280E instead of being taken advantage of.
So this is, your software then would be advantageous in that it was built from the ground up specifically for cannabis as opposed to taking an existing thing and retrofitting it.
Exactly. Yep.
What are some of the advantages of that, the differences that we'd find between your software and maybe some of the other competitors?
So we go state by state, understanding the regulatory framework, and then we build a solution for that state specifically. So, for instance, Colorado, they have the MED, the Marijuana Enforcement Division, that everybody has to comply with. So we do things like tracking med badges, connections to the MED. We're doing the 280E processing in the back end, so your employee clocks into a specific job that you can then take a deduction or not deduction on. So a lot of the things that are specific state by state is what we're incorporating into our solution. Hmm. So the solution here in Oregon would be different than the solution that's implemented in Colorado.
And you mentioned that 280E deduction thing. Is this, let me see if I'm understanding it correctly, because the 280E deal is where they can't deduct cost of goods sold because it's a Schedule I drug under the federal law. So the way that I've heard them, you know, retailers and people dealing with this is designating a certain portion of their business to other things that are not pot related. So this is how you're tracking the hours of someone working on the non thing versus the pot thing.
Absolutely. So okay. So you can deduct labor as long as it's attached to production.
Yeah.
Which is a cost of goods sold. You cannot deduct to the selling of a Schedule I drug.
Okay, so this would be, you know, without this, you might just be doing payroll for a guy that works 8 hours that day, and you're getting hit on that full 280E thing, rather than saying, hey, look, he was only at the counter for an hour that day. He was doing
exactly
XYZ
right.
for the other 7 hours.
So we think about a bud tender, right?
Yeah.
Portion of his day is rolling joints.
Yeah.
That's creating a product. That's deductible expense. Yeah. Then he goes back to selling. That's not deductible.
Okay.
Right now, these business owners they have a labor cost, which is this amount of time per day, and then they're estimating how much of that labor is deductible.
Sure.
Then they're getting audited by the IRS, and the IRS is saying, well, you need to prove it to me.
Yeah.
And now these business owners don't have a way to prove it.
Gotcha.
So we've created a labor tracking tool that allows them to prove in the court of law that this labor has been assigned to a production task.
How, from the day-to-day operations aspect of it, is it a pain in the ass for the employee? Does he have to like swipe a card or clock in or push in a password at the till versus when he's in the back? Or how does that work?
So he can do it from his mobile phone.
Okay.
So he can clock in and out from the phone. We geofence it to your location so they can only clock in or out from inside your building.
That's a good idea.
We've got PCs. We've got tablets. We've got clocks on the wall. So it's very simple for your employees to do it. And on the back end, you can save a lot of money because now you're able to deduct this labor.
Yeah, that's a really interesting aspect of this that I hadn't considered is trying to divvy up what a pain in the butt it would be to try to divvy up who worked where at what time for how long.
Exactly. Okay. And when you think about most businesses, let's say you make $1 million and then you pay $1 million in labor, you make $0, right? And you pay zero tax on that money.
Right.
Now in the cannabis space, you make $1 million, you pay $1 million in labor, but you can only deduct half of that now. So you're paying tax when you made zero money that year.
Right.
So this is a way for them to take advantage of it, to at least get some deduction back and have an audit trail to back them up.
What other aspects of the software should we tell people about?
So we're doing full payroll fulfillment. So we pay your employees, we pay your taxes for you. We help you onboard your employees correctly. If you don't onboard your employees and capture the right information, you could get fined by the Department of Labor or the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of compliance risk with managing employees, and we help automate that process for our customers.
And I know the feds are still reticent on this issue to give us any sort of banking services and so forth. So does that prevent you from doing automated clearinghouse transactions or transfers or anything like that?
So we're partnered with cannabis banks that we run payroll through.
Okay.
So it gives our customers a direct line to the banking channel. But we offer both a banked and unbanked solution because some states don't have a bank yet.
Right.
So we still help the unbanked population calculate their payroll, calculate their taxes, and then give them an audit trail of paying individuals. So if there was ever a disgruntled employee try to sue you for unpaid wages, you now have proof that you did pay that person.
And is this software, this is for both the states with adult legalization and medical?
Yes.
It works in medical?
And we have built out the tax codes for every single state, all 50 states. So as states continue to come online, we're already prepared to service those guys.
And I imagine, are you guys having to hire any coders? Because we got like 9 states are going to have votes this year. That's a big market to open up all at once, huh?
Yeah, we are growing very fast.
You have to have the California version, the Arizona version, and so on, right?
Yep, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, let's tell people how to get in touch with Work. WURK, all the online stuff and how they can find you.
Exactly. The easiest way is our website, enjoywork.com, and that's enjoywurk.com.
Right on. Well, Keegan with Work, thank you for stopping here, and thanks for helping these business owners to save a bundle when they're having to deal with all this crazy
federal stuff for now.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more from Indo Expo.
I object to all this sex on the television. I mean, I keep falling off.
Well, everybody, it is 4:20 in Denver, Colorado, and Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Las Cruces, New Mexico, for that matter, as well. So happy 4:20 to everybody out there in the Mountain Time Zone and everywhere out there in the Stoner Time Zone where it doesn't matter what time it is. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more from Indo Expo with Sharon Vance, a funny discussion with a great comedian right after this.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in cannabisradio.com.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested. Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network, founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association in the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live at the Indo Expo in Portland, Oregon. I'm Radical Russ, and joining me here at the desk, we have Sharon Vance, a comedian from the Spokane area, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, currently, yes.
And you have a big hairy boner.
I do. Would you like to touch my boner?
May I touch
yes,
your hairy boner?
Yes, please touch my boner.
Your boner is soft and hairy.
Yeah, he's amazing. I love him so much.
We're talking about a wiener dog, by the way.
Yes, a long-haired wiener dog. You have to add that. That's very rare.
I know. I was going to say, it's like usually these little Dachshund-type dogs are, you know, short hairs.
Yeah, yeah, but he's the cutest. You see his little chest hair right here? So manly. And regal.
And the bow with the British Union Jack, did Boner vote for Brexit?
You know what? He yeah, that's a good one. He actually got this for on the 19th. He's 12 now.
Oh, really?
So this was for his birthday. It was 99 cents.
Yeah, 84 in dog years.
Oh, my God. No, yes, I got it. That's sad.
So you're here at the Indo Expo, and this is like the business-to-business day, so what's the business angle for you here?
Well, basically, we're just out here. We're trying to support the arts and comedy. We just did a week tour with Dirty Angel Entertainment. Shout out to Tyrone and Courtney. They did amazing. And I did 3 shows with them, and the first night, I got really, really drunk.
Yeah.
Ended up in the parking lot with my shirt off. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. In my defense, I was in a corset.
Okay.
And I was ready for that thing to be off.
I see.
And I guess I was really drunk. It's okay, though.
I love how those
stories
talk.
We were Ubering.
Yes.
Support the Uber, by the way.
All right. So you made your way down from the Palouse down here to Portland. And what do you think so far?
You know, I'm actually an Oregonian.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Oh.
Now we're talking. I like how you just like went forward on that. Yeah, born and raised. Springfield, Oregon born. You know?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, see, there we go. So what took you up to Spokane then?
I've done a lot since I left Oregon. I decided to move to Texas with my parents for high school. Graduated from there, recommended, and then went back to Oregon for dental assisting school. Did that. Then went back to Texas, joined the military after a while. Did some jobs. Yeah, I did military police, 31 Bravo, with the Army. Yes.
I was telling her I was a 0-2 kilo. That's Army bassoon player.
And I love it.
I'm telling you, between 1985 and 1990, not a single Soviet musician invaded America. That's on me, baby.
Oh, baby, let me. Thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah. I worked really hard.
I love it. I do want to give a shout out to Jamie right there. Jamie, that sexy woman right there.
Yeah.
That's Dee. And we got Salsa. I came up here with my crew. Jamie's been doing this for like 7 years. She saw something in me.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for like 3 months. Really? Yeah.
See, I admire that so much because I've always had an affinity for stand-up comedy. I'm a kid that grew up with the Robin Williams albums, Reality What a Concept, Steve Martin, you know, Wild and Crazy Guy, Let's Get Small, all that. Mm-hmm. So I loved stand-up comedy, George Carlin especially. Mm-hmm. But it always terrified me to think of actually doing it.
Yeah.
Was that
I prepared my whole life for this.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt. The first night I did stand up at Spokane Comedy Club, I mean, I was on a high. I've never felt that great in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I like to sing. I've always sang. I always felt like I should be on stage. I always did theater, choir, all that kind of stuff. But never like this. It's something else. It's a high. It's great.
Speaking of high.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Cannabis, marijuana, ganja,
I love
jive,
it.
Herb,
I've been doing it since
grass.
Middle school. Thank you, Jessica, for a second.
So you were...
Can we talk dirty on this?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. My friend Jessica in, like, elementary school, she started sucking dick to get it, and I didn't have to do that. I got
it for
free.
Wait. Back up.
Yeah.
Elementary school?
Oh, dude, my stories are crazy. I'm telling you, you want me on your two-hour show, guy.
So.
I'm telling you. I love it. But I didn't have to suck dick, don't worry. But I do love to do that. I am bisexual. I love it all. I am very raw. I also like the raw. The raw cones.
Oh, the papers. Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do you smoke out of when you do your two-hour shows? Like, what do you smoke?
Whatever's closest.
So can we?
Generally a bong, sometimes I roll joints.
So can I bring stuff, too, for us to smoke and shit?
Absolutely.
Like top shelf?
Yeah.
That's all I do. It's like when I go out, I took myself on a date the other day, right, because I'm single.
Okay.
And I like it that way, actually. Divorce.
Okay.
I went through that, too.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. Sentence is over. You know? He liked pussy, too. But it wasn't mine. It wasn't other women, either. It was pussycats. Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah. And he had to take Viagra.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Do I look old?
That is a question a man knows not to answer.
Okay, well, you should answer that no with me, okay?
No.
Okay, thank you. Anyways, but he was the same age, so if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
That's war, though. That's war. He's also a disabled veteran. I give him a shout out. But I do use him as a pun for all my jokes. Well, not all of them. I'm better than that.
So are you appearing here in town? Are you doing
some
shows?
Actually just did a week event.
Okay.
And we did so well, they want us back. So,
awesome.
Yeah, Dirty Angel Entertainment, I give a thanks to them for seeing what we see.
Yeah.
Yeah, what we bring.
All right, so Sharon, tell people how to find you, to contact you if they want to be your buddies on the internet or anything.
God, I feel like I'm going to be famous. Or, well, wait, I already am famous. But I feel like I'm going to be more famous just for knowing you and sitting next to you. So thank you
sure.
for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
So you can actually contact me on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. I keep it real simple. Everything is Sharon SJV. So Sharon, SHARON, Sierra, Julia, and Victor. So hit it up. Guys, follow me, please, and share it. I'm a disabled vet. I have a dog named Boner. I'm a comedian. I've done it all, baby. Master of all and doctor of none.
Right on.
You
Thank you
it?
So much, Sharon.
Thank you.
Livening up the day here at
Let's
the Indo
go smoke.
Expo. We're going to go smoke.
Let's do this.
We'll be right
I'm
back
excited.
After this.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Lots of fun at the Indo Expo this weekend at the Portland Expo Center. And we'll have plenty more of those interviews coming up through the rest of this week, as well as some of our regularly scheduled interview guests. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be speaking with Nick Heiss from Denver Relief Consulting. He's going to tell us about the latest sale to Willie's Reserve. Then we've got Doug Fine for our Hemp Day Hump Day coming up on Wednesday. And on Thursday, another Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We're off Friday because I'm making my way to Boise, Idaho for the Boise Hemp Fest. So wish me luck. Cross my fingers. We're right back, right after this, with Dr. Mitch.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You're going to find really wonderful, well-meaning, well-spoken people, and then people that are just batshit crazy.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our cannabis community chat. We've got Dr. Mitch on the Skype line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day, thanks.
Oh, me too. It's a little cloudy out here in Portland, and we just got done with the Indo Expo last weekend, so recovering from after parties and the such, but recovering pretty well. I think it's going to be a good day. We've got all sorts of great things to bring up in today's segment, and I want to start with this. I was going to do the data mining segment on this, and then I decided, nope, let's talk about it with Dr. Mitch. The new Gallup poll shows 13% of Americans say they are using, current tense, marijuana, up from 7% back in 2013. Dr. Mitch, what do you make of these numbers?
In all honesty, I think it's probably always been 15%, and just people are getting more and more comfortable talking to a Gallup interviewer and saying, yes, indeed, I do enjoy the plant. But unfortunately, I'm worried that folks are going to say, look, marijuana use has doubled, when in fact, it's not really the case.
It's what we say a lot about a lot of these stats that we hear. Oh, there's more kids being reported to the emergency room, more dogs being reported to the vet. Yeah, being reported, because now you don't go to jail for reporting it. So that's what we think is going on here to some extent.
Oh, I mean, if you think of the old days about literally anything else that was a controversial behavior, and then when it lost some of its controversy, people were much more willing to admit to doing it. I think this is really, really the case with this as well.
How do these figures jibe with what we've heard regarding the use by young people remaining steady?
Well, what's curious to me is there was actually a basically this unmatched count technique where people could say that they did something without actually having to confess to it. And we're finding that those are staying pretty steady. The use by young people staying steady seems pretty consistent with the idea that they've been kind of honest all along. There was actually some slight exaggeration. There were, you know, areas where it was kind of cool to say you'd smoked cannabis even if you hadn't. And so we're finally getting some of that impact to decrease. And then, I mean, I know it's a segue to the eighth graders in the medical cannabis states actually saying cannabis is more dangerous. I feel like the implications for those folks are really different for confessing to use compared to adults.
Yeah, that was this other study that came up that says that the passage of medical marijuana laws led to an increase in the youngest kids finding marijuana or perceiving marijuana to be harmful. Could that be they just now they understand it's a medicine and just medicines in general are things that kids aren't supposed to be around or just more education?
I think that's a reasonable explanation. I'm also curious. I wish that they could ask a little more detail on this because I think perceptions of dependence for young people, which, you know, is a genuine issue. If that's what they're, you know, viewing the danger as, I'm not upset about this at all. And I certainly hope that folks who have been banging the drum repeatedly that medical marijuana laws are going to turn teens in the state into motivational zombies is clearly not an issue at all. In fact, I think that there's a nice potential buffer here with that association with medical use, as you mentioned.
We have a question from our live chat room that asks about a statement here. THC is a dopamine reuptake inhibitor. Is that a true statement?
A dopamine reuptake inhibitor?
Yeah.
No, there's a modest increase in dopamine release, but way downstream. So it's not like cocaine or Adderall or any of those drugs, but you do get a modest increase in dopamine release after exposure to THC, but it's extremely small.
Okay. Next, this study, I talked about it last week, and I found it to be confirmed a lot of things I've done through personal study, let's say, on the effects of marijuana versus booze on young people and sex. What did you get from this study that we didn't already know?
I mean, I gave Joey Palomar a ton of trouble about this, and he's a delightful guy. If you want to ask him personally on the show, I think he'd get a kick out of it. But they just did extensive interviews, really trying to get a feel for these subjective effects and how they differ. As you can imagine, NIDA is not going to fund something like this anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I really got to hand it to him for not only being bold enough to actually gather these data, but to publish it in such a great journal.
The NIDA's just gotten around to allowing them to get volunteers for a PTSD study on veterans and medical marijuana. I don't see the college-age sex study coming anytime soon.
Sad but true.
You know, what I thought was interesting about the study is it really seemed to be much more anti-alcohol, if you're going to, you know, phrase it that way, I guess. But as far as, you know, if you're looking for a good sexual experience, stay away from alcohol and maybe take up the marijuana. Any chance that college kids are making that conscious choice?
I think there's definitely a subset. It's curious because the whole behavior of college students and sex actually seems to reflect how surprised they are that they're getting to have any.
Well, I think you just nailed my college experience. All right, let's get to this next study. More of a story that was in Alternate that, you know, we primarily focus on cannabis on this show, but there is a new sort of a revival of interest in psychedelic drugs, not just for their medical uses, but also for some spiritual enlightenment. What do you think about this? Is this the new tune-in, turn-in, drop-out generation happening before our eyes?
What's curious is I attribute a lot of this to ayahuasca, that which you really didn't have in the 60s and 70s, and this notion that, hey, this is an opportunity to, in a very fixed, potentially safe setting, explore, you know, your perception of your own thoughts and feelings, And it seems like the negative consequences have been really small, in part because ayahuasca is hard to get and really demands a lot of the user. So you don't see people doing LSD and throwing up and having to really deal with some of the alternative physical effects. And so people who are into it are pretty committed to the whole idea. Roland Griffiths has also gathered a lot of data on this, suggesting that people really do say, hey, this is a spiritual experience. My student, though, one of my students basically has data suggesting that edibles are also pretty much in line with this. And we're waiting for Roland to publish his before we publish ours. But the big idea is, hey, we're open to these. We know how to do harm reduction if we set up a good set and setting for these hallucinogens. And people claim literally years later that they got a lot out of it.
Hmm. What do we know just basically on some of these hallucinogens and their known medicinal properties? I've heard things like, you know, MDMA for counseling and LSD for alcoholism, for instance.
It's funny because the ability to get those published has been so impaired, and being able to get large samples and approval from ethics boards has been just terrible. So Ibogaine for the opiate addicts has a compelling set of really effusive case studies, but we don't really have that randomized clinical trial that we need, in part because, you know, NIDA won't give the approval. IRBs at universities are afraid they'll lose their other funding if they, you know, let people lay this out. But we're seeing some pretty compelling evidence that MDMA can enhance empathy, would be potentially an ideal way to facilitate couples therapy, what a surprise, and that LSD and alcoholism goes all the way back to Tim Leary days, but a lot of folks really do attribute their essential decrease of alcohol consumption to a pretty, you know, heartfelt experience with this hallucinogen. I see no reason to put this aside. It doesn't have the addictive potential that, you know, even caffeine has. So we ought to take advantage of this any way we can.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing how this gets expanded, pardon the pun, as we continue on. And maybe the relaxation of cannabis in its schedule and the further study on cannabis will help open the doors towards studying some of these other substances that are, as you say, non-toxic. There is no realistic LD50 for some of these substances, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. I brought this up on the show last week as well, and I was interested to talk to you about this, especially in your role on the Normal Board and how this affects cannabis consumers. But it's a ruling by OSHA, or a regulation that OSHA put together, the Occupational Safety Health Administration, on mandatory reporting of workplace injuries. And a little aside to that was, if you have a drug testing regime that might dissuade people from reporting, then you got to adjust your drug test regime. What does this mean for those of us who might have jobs where there's post-accident drug testing?
If I'm reading this correctly, they're essentially trying to loosen things up so that if there is post-accident drug testing, yeah, it does have the potential to turn into a complaint against the employee. But if it looks like it's some kind of retaliation for reporting the accident, that OSHA will actually make it so that they'll investigate retaliation even if the employee doesn't complain about the retaliation.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to get a feel for genuine accidents and for, you know, drug-related accidents, but they're also trying to make sure that folks don't have to feel like they're risking their job and their livelihood by doing so.
Yeah, I tried to find a number of sources on this, and this weekend I tried to talk to some of the HR professionals at the Indo Expo that this was so new they weren't even really up on it. But from what I was gathering on this, it seemed like if you're the guy who drives the forklift and runs over a guy's foot, you're going to get drug tested. But if you're the guy whose foot got ran over, then if there's a chance that drug testing looks like we're trying to, oh, we're going to get Bob because we know he's a stoner, but really Bob was just standing there and got his foot run over, maybe that's where this comes in. We'll see if we could find some HR experts to get on the show and talk about this, because it's fascinating to me.
I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, let's wind things up here real quickly. A Seattle bar, this is just in the news, is offering customers these date rape drug testing kits. Real quick, this is just a really good harm reduction idea I thought I'd get your input on.
It's funny because these have been out since at least the early 90s, and I'm dying to see these get more accessible. A lot of the women in college age seemed kind of apprehensive about using them or carrying them around or anything like that. So I'm hoping that these will be a little more subtle, something you could do in without seeming like you're accusing the guy who just bought you a drink of being a rapist. And I think the potential is really strong here. So I hope this becomes a big trend.
All right. Dr. Mitch is the host of Burning Issues here on CannabisRadio.com. Make sure to check that podcast out. And if you want to get your questions answered in a private sort of way, you can do so through email. Just send an email to 420research@gmail.com. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.
All right, stay tuned. We got more from the Indo Expo coming up next. Ever wonder what it's like to be a professional marijuana strain reviewer? We speak to one. Soham is his name, from The Cannabist.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Paul's doing good work.
It's Mike Gregg, you're a poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Yes, the New England Medical Journal.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Well, you can call me Dr. St. Paul now.
Dr. St. Paul.
I don't think I will.
No. you wouldn't even qualify to be a vet.
I'm a special kind of vet. I make them less lonely.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. They say marijuana grows like a weed, but growing high-quality marijuana takes more than just throwing a seed in the ground. Join us as we speak with the most recognized cannabis horticulturists in the world and take your live grow questions in our Cultivator's Corner.
Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here with CannabisRadio.com at Portland's Indo Expo 2016. And joining us at the desk, we have Soham. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Got to turn your mic up. I keep forgetting that.
I'm doing well, Russ. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And you're with the Denver Post and The Cannabist. Is that correct?
I am. I'm a freelance pot critic for the Denver Post.
What a wonderful job to have. How did you get that job?
I guess the bottom of it would be just persistence. I really wanted it. I kept pestering the editor more or less until he gave me a shot and gave him a writing sample, and then went from there.
How long have you been doing this now?
Just around a year now, probably this week, actually.
Any estimate to how many strains you've reviewed?
Probably between 15 and 20. I've done, I think I'm the only one who's done reviews from both Washington and Denver cannabis, and then picked up a couple of grams up here yesterday at a shop, so hopefully should have some good Oregon ones coming out soon.
So as a professional critic of cannabis, what are, like, the top three things you see that are deal breakers that you go, eh, that's out of here?
It's usually if the emphasis being placed off of potency alone, and you can tell that the product wasn't, you know, trimmed properly, or if it wasn't cured, or if it smells like hay, or it looks like they heat dried it, there's light burn on it, stuff like that, I just don't want. And then obviously any type of pest or PM, if you see that, you don't want to be putting that in your body.
Right on, right on. You know, a lot of people have their favorites. I'm sure you have certain favorite strains. What are some that you particularly enjoyed?
Yeah, so, I mean, Durban Poison is my all-time favorite strain. So
that's me too.
It was actually the first one that that I used as a writing sample to get hired by the cannabis. There was a really good cut of it that was grown by Good Chemistry down in Denver. So that's my all-time favorite. Another one is definitely the Jilly Bean.
That's Jilly Bean.
That one's kind of hit or miss. A lot of people don't quite like the really citrusy, the kind of bitter grapefruit taste that you get out of it. But I love it, and it's a nice stimulating smoke.
Yeah, I've found, you know, with Durban Poison for me, I write as well, and best cure for writer's block ever.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, it's good not just for, you know, intellectual work, it's good for physical work, or, you know, have a smoke a nice joint before you go play kickball or softball or something like that, or go work out. I love it. It really just gets me jacked up. It's like a cup of, or a shot of espresso in the morning.
So a lot of folks out there are going to know those popular types of strains. How about a strain that kind of caught you by surprise, a dark horse, an underdog that, like, nobody knows about, and you're like, hey, you got to pay attention to this. This one's up and coming.
Absolutely. I guess the one, and maybe it's more well-known in the Pacific Northwest, but being from the Colorado scene, I hadn't seen it before. It's called UW Perp.
Uh-huh.
It was beautiful. It was frosty. The deep, dark hues of purple in it were beautiful, and it was a knockout, man. It was a knockout strain. It put me on my ass.
Fantastic. That's one of the side effects of having this job, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So there's something going on here at this event. It's called the Grow Off. Is this the name of it?
Yep. Yeah, so it's not happening at Indo, but it's something we're running in Colorado. It's myself and Jake Brown, who is the other cannabis critic. You might recognize his name from Rolling Papers, the documentary that just came out about the cannabis.
Yes.
Basically, what we're doing is we're trying to provide a more controlled type of cannabis cultivation competition. So not quite like the High Times Cup or anything like that, where people are growing their own variety or their own strain, donating a certain amount, and then people are smoking it and deciding which one they like the best.
Yeah.
We're actually having everyone being manifested cuttings from the same mother plant within the metric system in Colorado, within the regulatory framework.
Wow.
And everyone is expected to grow that same cut until they harvest it, and then we're sending everything to a lab for analytical testing and awarding prizes based off terpene content, cannabinoid content, and yield.
See, that seems so much more fair to me, because it always seemed to me like a growing competition, the typical harvest cups and such. It's like having a cooking competition, and one guy gets to make pizza and the other guy gets to make oatmeal.
Exactly.
It's like, that's not fair.
That doesn't make sense. What are you comparing?
So
apples
everybody
and
start with the same genetics, the same clone, and then we can really see who's flushing it right, who's growing it right.
And one of the other cool things is our genetics partner, Dark Horse Genetics. They've been working on stabilizing this particular strain for about 2 years, and it's never been released in the market. So nobody's ever grown it before except the people that bred it. So nobody has an advantage. We're not telling anybody what strains were bred into it, what the name of it is, anything like that. So you get this cutting, it'll be called the Grow Off's 2016 strain or whatever, and you grow it out, and then we're going to send it to a lab. It's kind of fun being the two cannabis critics from the Denver Post that are saying, you know what, even though we get paid to smoke cannabis and write about it, you know, smoking something is not a truly objective evaluation of something.
Right.
As much as I would enjoy smoking.
Yeah. So in my travels, I've kind of noticed regional differences. Some, you know, Pacific Northwest, we like our sativas because it's cold and rainy all the time.
Yeah.
Southern California, like the Kushes, because they want to get baked, you know, couch locked on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
In Colorado, are there regional differences, like, between the mountains and the plains, the east and the west, anything like that?
I haven't noticed a whole lot of it just yet, but I have seen some really interesting Some of the hybrids are a little bit heavier, but you find as you get at higher altitude, you see a couple more like kind of sativa varieties down south in Pueblo where there's kind of a cultivation center happening there. But I think that brings up an interesting point. I think that we're probably about 5 years out from a whole new generation of land-raised genetics.
Yeah.
You think about how cannabis has been hybridized over the past 20 or 30 years and grown in a controlled environment inside the artificial lighting and artificial grow medium. And now we're finally able to get back with legalization to sun and soil growing, which is how a plant should be grown.
Yeah.
And as we see that, I think people will start to pull hybrid varieties that don't necessarily grow in that particular environment, whether it's in Oregon or whether it's in, you know, the Yakima Valley east of the Cascades or whether it's in southern Colorado or wherever it is. And they'll be focused on growing just the ones that fit that sun and soil, those sun and soil conditions. After a couple generations of growing those same strains, that is basically a new land race. So I'm really excited to see where the future of genetics is.
Yeah, and especially as we find how different strains will thrive in a high altitude environment with this type of soil versus the low altitude environment with a more loamy type of soil, whatever it might
be.
And then we'll start to get some regional appellations
and
start to understand that. That's really exciting. Is there anything else you want to tell our audience? I mean, there's so much we could talk about here.
No, I mean, I'm excited to be here. I hope everyone else is too. And thanks for having me on the show.
Well, let's tell people how to get involved in this competition if they want to get involved in that.
Absolutely. So right now, we're only open to recreational grow facilities in Colorado. We want to be out here in Oregon early next year doing our first Oregon competition. If you're a rec grower in Colorado, you can check out thegrowoff.com or send me an email, soham@thegrowoff.com. And we'll go ahead and get you the application to get in. Only got about a week left to apply, so get in there. And if you're interested in our future competitions in other states, be it Washington or Oregon, make sure to visit the website and get on our mailing list. We'll make sure to keep you in the loop with all that.
All right, thegrowoff.com. This is Soham, S-O-H-U-M, at thegrowoff.com. We can also find you at thecannabis.co.
Yep, thecannabis.co. You look under some of the strain reviews, you'll see some of mine. There's also a piece I wrote about smoking hash in India. Did an interview with Sublime in Rome a couple weeks ago.
Cool. So,
any of those are mine.
Right on. Well, Soham, thanks for dropping by and telling us all about this. This is
fascinating. Thank you so much for having me, Russ. Appreciate it.
All right, we're back with more right after this. Stay tuned, everyone. We are live at the Indo Expo. That was recorded at the Indo Expo just this weekend. It was a great show, about 250 different exhibitors, and they had all sorts of panels going on upstairs. I didn't get to go to a single one of them. I was captive at the Cannabis Radio Lounge with all these interviews we did. We recorded 27 interviews over the span of the two-day event, and it ran 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday, and we'll have those posted up on my SoundCloud sometime, probably by this weekend. So if you were one of the interviewees, or you'd like to re-listen to one of these interviewees, or paste them into your social media accounts or your web blogs, wherever you want to put it, we'll have that up for you just as soon as possible. You can always email me too, radicalruss@gmail.com. I'm great at fulfilling these requests, send you links to previous shows and interviews if you can use them. It helps me if you're spreading that stuff around, so be glad to help you out. I particularly enjoyed that interview with Soham, somebody who gets paid to sample marijuana strains and write about them, and we could have gone much longer in that interview. He was a great guy. We've got some other great interviews from the Indo Expo coming up here in this next hour. We spoke with Drew, who came over from the Gary Johnson campaign. The Johnson Weld 2016 Libertarian Ticket had a nice booth there at the Indo Expo, and had a couple of their representatives stop by to speak. We spoke to one of them. He'll come up first thing in our first segment next hour. In our second segment, we spoke with Jonah from MRX Labs. We get into the ins and outs of extraction technology. And then we close out third segment, David from Willamette Valley Aquaponics. Not hydroponics, aquaponics. It involves fish. It's a very interesting talk. I learned a whole bunch. Thanks for joining us. That's all the time we got for hour one. Like I said, hour two is next. And don't forget, Stoner Jesus comes up live on CannabisRadio.com right after this next hour. 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you